the Gemara a little bit on Tzedekeh Medavah. The Gemara has a whole Agadah said that because of the fact that David HaMelech was responsible for the death of Novir HaKoni. Because his fault, he was responsible, but it was because he was running away from Shaul, and he did there Novir HaKoni. He took care of him, and he said he was starving, and he was halashim, so he gave him the Lachim HaKoni to him. And then Shaul found out about it, and he got so angry, he wiped out the whole city. So David HaMelech preserved an Einish for that, because since the others were Nemesh al Yodoy, so he was going to be Nemesh. But Shalom gave him an option. He wanted stuff for himself, if he wanted the children to be like that. So first he chose to grab the stuff himself. No one wants the children to suffer. And the Gemara has a whole agarta that Goliath, his brother, somehow succeeded in throwing, he found David and threw him up in the air. He's going to kill him. And then Avisha ben Tzruya came and he saved him, and he was in follow. He got, somehow, Abishai ben Tzruya said Hashem, and he succeeded in getting David out on the ground, and he saved him. And then he told him the Chachma, he was followed to the Banishman, and he changed his mind. Instead of you suffering, because he couldn't take it anymore, so he was followed such as that he killed Mishadaya. So he changed his feeling. That's what the Gemara says, that Mishadra, Yazava, Abishai ben Tzruya, and Shmuel Beis, so yeah, what did he help them? He told him how to dub, change the tune. So the Gemara is bothered with Akasha when David was up in the air, suspended him in the air, and Goliath's brother was going to kill him. So why did he have to wait for Abishai ben Tzruya to be misfollowed? Should have been misfollowed on his, David and Mel should have been misfollowed on his own. So the brother comes, gets him down and saves him. So the Gemara has this question, no, because in Chavish Moti Asma they saw to him. What does that expression mean? Ein chavish mati ratzim deis atzim, ein chavish mati ratzim. The Rashi writes over here, ein chavish. Yivam Aschel, ein chavish, the middle of the second column. And so it came at Aleph, Yivam Aschel, ein chavish. Ein zaito mechuvenes loima Hashem. Since he was so aggravated, suspended in mid-air, so he, in order to get down to the ground, he had to say some kind of a shame Hashem. So Ein Daita Mechuvenes, he was so aggravated he couldn't be Mechaven properly, and Abishai ben Tzruya was not suspended immediately. He was able to be Mechaven. So in the Sefer Be'er Sheva, he has a taina against Rashi, affects Akasha, because the Gemara in Brochas has the same expression. It says on the side of the Gemara, Brochas are famous enough. In Brochas, the Gemara tells one of the Amorim was sick and dying, and another Amor came and he visited him, and Yaid La Yoda, he gave his hand, and he was his follow, and he got dead. So the Amor said, Takashi, but the one who is a Chayla Mitzvah, and the one who is about to die, he was also a Baal Kabbalah. And he used to do this stunts with others, Yaid La Yoda, he used to go visit sick people, he used to shake their hand, and they would get dead. So what did he need the other Amor to visit him, to give him a refuah? Why didn't he succeed in being the Rapim? So the Amor says, no, in Chavit Matarachim, they taught him. So the Be'er Sheva asks if the pshat is like Rashi says, because ain't like the Mechuvenes to say Hashem. So what's the problem of saying Hashem over there? You just have to be misfollowed. The person who's a chayla is going to daven better than the other one who's not a chayla. He's the one who suffers. Here, David HaMelech is going to be misfollowed harder than Abishai ben Tzruya. David HaMelech is patumos over here, because he's suspended in air, so he can say ain't like the Mechuvenes to say Hashem. So over there, the Gemara Brachas, what does that have to do with saying Hashem? That's why the Be'er Sheva thinks that you should learn pshat, not like the Rashi over here. He just says, no, it's Re'ya Mazle. The one who's covered the Beis Asurim, there's a Zeira's din against him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be covered the Beis Asurim. His feelings are not as accepted as other people against whom there is no Midas Adin Mitzuch. That's how the Be'er Sheva says. Others I saw in the Sefer Daniel Yoda by the Ben Ishchai, as an early Agadah says, he wants to be Miyashi, he quotes something from the Arizal, of the Kabbalah, that in Mar Brachis, it's also shot like that. So how did he do this stunt? That the Amoraim had the ability to go visit sick patients, and they would shake their hands and they would get better. Chodim is the kind, they're all done by the Tisha, and they would shake their hands and get better. It's also by using some kind of a shed. In Leila, he says, Rashi's shot fits in very well, and the Gemara Brachas is also according to what the Arizal said. That ability to be Yaid in the Yodeh, to shake the Chayla's hand and to get him to be better, is only offered by Yusuf Hashem. the chayla is all fatumut, he won't be able to be mechabim the shat on the other side. What's an afternoon? What's an afternoon? When you learn shat like that, you learn shat like the Be'er Sheva. So it's interesting, I seem to remember that our Tzipei Tachfeng, right, that on Erev, Rosh Hashanah, we have a name that we all do Hatzaras in Dor. We usually do the Zeh Hazer. So usually, they like to be mechabim the Rabbon. Rabbon should be sitting there the whole day long. So the three Balabatim say they'll offer the rabbi and Yeshua the Torah that they'll be matter his mother first. And then the Balabatim will be matter each other's in front. So he says a frank quote that he's at home. There was one of the great Rabbanim in Yerushalayim, always insisted, Bakir. He wanted to sit through to be matter neder the Balabatim first. And then the Balabatim, who's in Durham, had been removed, should be mata his neder. He didn't want that the Balabatim, who are still bound with Nidorim, should be mata his neder. Achina, Aben Chavis mata Ratzin, they talked to him. He himself is bound with Nidorim. He didn't succeed yet in getting rid of his Nidorim. So how was he going to get me out of my neder? Achina, like the Alpidin, there's no such halacha. But that was a hagosha that some of the Rabbanim had based on this Loshon HaGemara. Of course, when you matter and you don't use any shame. So if you say the pshat and ein chavish matter atzma like Rashi, the neder that I took, the shvua that I took, the shvua b'shem, even if you took the shvua b'shem, yeah. But when you do the act of hatoras nidon, you don't employ any shame to accomplish hatoras nidon. So that whole hagosha that some gedolim had was only still a doctor's bit hagosha. That was according to the Be'er Sheva. He's not learning like that. The Be'er Sheva has, he composed some of the liquid, some of it. His own Be'er Sheva was, Mogan Avon quotes from the Be'er Sheva. He's the Talmud of the Smart, I think. Talmud of the Tishon. And he composed, or he was Malakas, taste system, and all of those corrupting, and all of those mitzvahs, but we don't have any tastes. On Chelik, he has a set of tastes. On parts of the end of Seta, where we have no Tosis, he composed Tosis. On Talmud, and those Mesistas, where we have no Tosis, he composed, he was Malachi's Tosis. And I think the Mephoshim say that's the reason why, no? So then, Rav Zaka, that's a similar idea. Yeah. Similar idea to the way that their Sheva is presented, yeah. Yeah. Not exactly. Then the Gemara has the Agadata of the Tzitzis Sadeh. The three different people had Tzitzis Sadeh. So one of them was Yankif Avinu. So the way the Gemara presents it was the top of Sadekena days that the Yaitu Yaakov of their Shoga by Yelech Arona, that somehow, that was not the Tzitzis Sadeh. The Gemara says the Tzitzis Sadeh was Fakir. When he arrived in Choron and he realized what happened. He says by the Mokma Migdosh. On the third line on the top, the Mokma Lachoran Omar, Yagmarina says to himself, Efshir Avati, Amokma Shiz Palabar, Ret Manila, his Palalti Bo Hakanati. So he decided he has to go back. So on the way back, in order to go back to Beit HaMikdash, that was Pizza there. How do you get the Choran Kofi? I don't know. Umar doesn't say that was Pizza there. Umar says, on the way back, all of a sudden, that's the Pizza there. So then the Rabbanu Shlom says, okay, Yank Ravina is there in the Makom HaMikdash and he's his follow. Then the Rabbanu Shlom decides that he would like that Yank Ravina should say, oh, Amarach HaVisoch, that's the 10th line in the top of Holy Day. The Rabbanu Shlom says, Tzadik Zebo, the Beit Maloni, this Tzadik comes to my hotel, to my place. He puts it below Vina. I'd like to have him sleep over. So Miyad Bo HaShemesh, the sun sets earlier than the Shurik sets. And then so they use Achloy HaShemesh, that years later, the sun rose early to make up for the fact that on this occasion the sun set late. The sun set early on this occasion, and later to make good, so the sun set earlier to offset the altitude. So the expression that Gemara uses, Efsher, Tzadik Zed Bo LeBeit Maloni, he taught the Baloi Lino. What does he mean, Lino? The Rabbanu Shlom desires that Yankov Avinu should sleep over in the Mokma Midrash. Could be that that's all it means. Lino. The Rabbanu Shlom would like to be Mach Nitoch, would like to have Yankov Avinu sleep in the Beit HaMikdash. I was just thinking, maybe I didn't see anything of course you make this comment. There is a din of lina. It's Allah has lina. Whoever brings a carbon in the Beit HaMikdash has to have lina, has to sleep over Yerushalayim. And when you bring the Purim, the Gemara says you have to have lina, you have to sleep over Yerushalayim that time. So maybe that's what it means. Lina is an Indian. When you visit the Beit HaMikdash, it shouldn't be such a deep visit, just in and out. You should have to sleep over. That's why the Rebbe Shlomo wanted the Lina. That's why the Rebbe Shlomo wanted you should have Lina. And you should give him a Mara Hanavu and his color. And we'll be discussing it tomorrow, so the mother. We're skipping a lot on Tzadik Vavam and Aleph. On Tzadik Vavam and Aleph, the Gemara is commenting on this week's Parsha, on Parsha's Lech Lecha. It says, when Avraham Avinu waged the war against the Avraham Elohim, the Avraham Elohim won against the five kings. So Avraham Avinu went to wage the war in order to save his nephew Lot, who was there in the city that he conquered. It says, "Vayicholak aleihem laila hu v'abadov v'yakem." What is the mashmosh of the word laila? The Gemara has a machlokes of Yechanan and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafta. So Rabbi Yechanan says that he had Avraham Avinu had a malach who helped him win the war. How can he win the war? The Derech HaTeva, a war against the four kings, beat up the five kings, and Avraham Avinu with such a small handful of soldiers, he wins the war. So the Gemara says it must be that the malach whose name was laila was helping him. And how do you know that such a malach whose name is Laila? The pasuk says in here, "V'halayla Omar Hoira Gover." So the Maharsho adds on a little bit over here, and I saw the later Mepharshim more accept this shot from the Maharsho. They think that that's perhaps the pasuk shot in Ma. The Gemara says, I think in Sota, in my so-called, that the malach or the Ma'im Udim, the malach Hamamun Al Hahayroya, his name is Laila. That pasuk in here, "V'halayla Omar Hoira Gover." The Malach HaMamuna Al HaHeroyim. The Gemara says in Nida that before the baby is born, the Malach decides that he's going to have brown hair or black hair or blonde. What color hair? What color eyes? He's going to be tall or short, fat or skinny, rich or poor, hot and toothache. Everything physical. Tzadik V'Rosh HaLekoma. The Gemara says the Malach doesn't decide that he's going to be a Tzadik V'Rosh HaGobideish Man Kutni Yerushamayim. People have true chashis to do mitzvahs of Tzadik. But the Malach makes this declaration whether Gibor or Cholosh or Chacham or Kitesh or so on. The Gemara picks on those three things because the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, "Ayitaleh Chacham Chachmasav Ayitaleh Gibor Bidurasav Ayitaleh Osher Biyashro Kimizot Yitaleh Onitaleh Haskel Yadoyah." So the Pasuk says you shouldn't brag about Gibor Bidurasav because that's Minaleita, that is the Malach. Hamamun Al HaHeroyim decided he's going to be a Chacham, decided he's going to be a Gibor, decided he's going to be an Osher. So that has nothing to do with him, not because of his Chacham that he figured all of this out. The Malach decided all that. So that's when Engmar gives those three Mishals. So the Mashiach interprets over here that Nimrod, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Nimrod is who has held Gibor side with Hashem. He apparently meant Aleda was a Gibor. Nimrod was a Gibor. And Nimrod was one of the Avraham Elohim, like Rashi writes on yesterday's Pasha. Amrafel, Omar Kul, Omar Vihito. So Amrafel was Nimrod, and Nimrod was meant Aleda, he was a Gibor. So the Gemara was wondering if Nimrod, based on the process, Bru Hechel, he was Gibor Sayyid, he was a Gibor, meant Aleda, so how can it be that Avraham Avinu won the war against him? Can I get a Teva? That's what the Gemara says, the Malach HaMamune. The Malach who caused all the shots was Beckin, and he declared, "Now I'm changing the Teva. Instead of Nimrod was before he was born, I declared Nimrod is going to be a Gibor. So now he's changing. This is the Malach who's in charge of these things. Malach is in charge of Gibor, Chacham and Asher, and so on. Everything but side of Russia. So now that Malach, his name is Laila, he helped out Avraham Avinu, and he said, no more Gibor. On this occasion, Nimrod is not going to be a Gibor." That's how the Mashiach suggests the Shad in the first opinion, Rabbi Yochanan. And then Rabbi Yitzchak Nacha disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. The Shlokis thinks of Yitzchak, the Shlokis is the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, but he makes a comment. He thinks Rabbi Yitzchak Nacha's shot is better than Rabbi Yochanan's shot. The next line in the Gemara. This is Amar Shlokis, Tavad Nacha, Midabar Nacha. He thinks that Rabbi Yitzchak Nacha's shot is better than Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan is known as Bar Nacha. Why was he known as Bar Nacha is a question. He actually has a whole discussion of why. But the Gemara quotes that the Shlokish is coming. He thinks Rabbi Yitzchak Nacha's shot is better. So what's up Rabbi Yitzchak Nacha? He says, no. The Derech HaTeva doesn't make any sense that Avraham Avinu should win the war against it. How is that possible? The Yibo should win the war. But after Chavim and Tzilasim, they'll come. And it says, Beicholik Aleim Laila, it is a nicer Laila, not the Malach whose name is Laila, the Malach HaMimun Al HaHeroyon. Ken, he said, I'm changing the Teva, he's going to be a Gibor, Avam is going to be the Gibor, and Nimrod is going to be the Cholosh. No. Despite the fact that Nimrod remained a Gibor, and Avam was a Cholosh, and can't say it's a Nimrod, Menashamayim, Zilcham Rakachavim and Tzilasim. So it's like over there, it was Lamaila Menat Teva. It didn't make sense. It was an answer, it was clearly an answer. Rabbi Gemara says before, on the first wide line on Saturday came the base, Gemara says there were millions and millions and millions of soldiers when he was waging that war. That the Muhammad that Avraham Avinu had against Avraham Melachim was like that Muhammad when Sancheirah came to destroy Eretz Yisrael, had on Ashir, he had 185,000 generals. And imagine how many foot soldiers that he had. Gemara makes a calculation over 2 million. So whichever way you slice it, it was a tremendous mess. That Avraham Avinu won the war against the Avraham Elohim. The Gemara had the 2 versions as to how that happened. Then the Gemara cuts up a strange statement on the white line. Shalach Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserim in its even, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserim, who lived in its even, sent a message to the other Tanoim. You should be careful about 3 things. Zor b'zokhen shishokach hamud amat mazonsoi. Zor b'zokhen shishokach hamud amat mazonsoi. Zor b'zokhen shishokach hamud amat mazonsoi. Zor b'zokhen here the Be'er Sheva they have on the side. Be'er Sheva crosses out the dearest day, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserim. He says, how can it be? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserim was way before the time of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserim is not a bite. The Gemara says in the beginning of Sochem. Right, the dead is Nochli, who used to eat called Pesach, so he tripped him up. Even says, man a bite, Rabbi Yehuda was after the Chuzan a bite. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, they were all after the Chuzan by Shemi. I wouldn't even have Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserim telling you you should follow the Pesach of Rabbi Yehuda. Yizoruk is raiding to Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why he has on the margin on the left side that the Yehuda says, Be'er Sheva, he changes and says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserim, that's saying Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi. I don't know, is that such a... Yeah, I'll shame also. It's not that that's what it said in the letter. It said in the letter, follow Rabbi Yehuda, she said, I said. No, he wrote a letter. And the Gemara writes to the Kitzur, what he wrote was, follow Rabbi Yehuda Shita. It doesn't necessarily mean that, that's what he wrote. The Gemara is paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't see, and then the other Achrayim points out that there was more than one Tana, there was more than one person that knows Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserim. The Tesis in Sochem points that out. It doesn't necessarily have to be that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserim means he's not a bite. He's a later Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserim. It could be 2 people with the same name. But I Raman Dan Lamde, I think the first comment is, I don't think whenever the Gemara quotes someone is speaking, even in the Chumash when they quote someone is speaking, I think the Rachaim points that out. The quotations in the Chumash are not necessarily verbatim. Not necessarily that. That's what Paro Melech Mitzrayim said. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. The Chumash is paraphrasing. The Rabbeinu Shalom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu that we should learn our things from the Chumash. Paro Melech Mitzrayim didn't have all the kavanos that the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted in the process. So the Rabbeinu Shalom paraphrased it. He wrote it in such a way you should be able to derive all kinds of dictator and all kinds of halachas from the words of Paro. Doesn't that tell me that that's what Paro said? And even the Archaim has this on the Zayt HaBrachim, on the Chumash records the brachas that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to each one of the Shvatim. So I think the Archaim writes like that. The brachas are not necessarily recorded verbatim. So the Rabbeinu Shalom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu how to record the brachas in the Chumash, but it's not necessarily a direct quotation from what he said. That's over here also. If they quote the letter that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserim sent to the other Chachamim, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what he wrote in the letter. Follow the Pesach of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda wasn't born yet, because Rabbi Yehuda was a little later. He wrote a letter that says the same as Rabbi Yehuda is going to say later. So the Gemara is to make it easier. It says, follow Rabbi Yehuda Shimon. What are the three things that he said? So the first thing that he said is that we have an obligation to in the Chabad Etzim Brachas, we have an obligation to in the Chabad Talmid HaChachonim because of the fact that they learned Torah. But what if you have a Talmid HaChachon who is keen up and he forgot everything that he learned? So there's no more Torah, so you shouldn't be obligated to in the Chabad. So that's what the Gemara says in Brachas. No, the Luchas is Yeshiva and Luchas are Menachim Barim. Yeshiva and Luchas have nothing in it. Yeshiva and Luchas were broken into tiny little pieces. So there's no Ksav over there. So that's like the Talmud Chacham Shishochach Talmudai. And still you have to treat the Yeshiva and Luchas with respect. So that's the first thing he said. You have to be Mechabed at Talmud Chacham Shishochach Talmudai Matmason. So if Shishochach Talmudai Shaloi Matmason, sorry, not that he's old and feeble and senile. He just decided to go into another field. He used to learn on the Yehudi. Then he went into business, then he watched the television all day long. So if I say so, he forgot everything that he learned. He goes to the movie, he watched the television. No, that's, so then you're not Mechutim in the Chabad. He erased all of the divinity. He erased everything. But if you show Chachamun, a Machmason, so he's old and sick and feeble, what can you do? Then it's a Tchin of Shivelu. So that's Takedu. You have to be in the Chabad, it's Hamachach, and even show Chachamun. So that doesn't mean you have to fast like it. He's not in a position to pass the Shabbat. So you don't pass it. You have to get covered. You have to give up covered. Then the second thing he said is a machloek is hatanoim and chulim. When you shech the anoim, when you shech the anoim, when you only shech the kona or the reish, when you shech the day, you shech the kona, you cut the kona and the reish. So there's a problem, when you shech the behemoth, you're not going to blow up a whole behemoth in one piece. It's a big thing. Even a young behemoth is a big thing. But sometimes the chicken, you broil the whole chicken. So, you can broil the whole chicken the way it is. So the thing is that when you broil the whole, when you broil flesh, but we only do malicious malicious. You know, you're not going to do malicious, but it means malicious at all. So you do malicious malicious, you do a little bit of malicious. If you're not going to burn it, you're going to cook it, you do real malicha, you have to rinse off the flesh, you do malicha, then you do hadach ha'chayin, you have to finish doing the malicha. We assume that the malicha will remove all of the dam or whatever, but it doesn't really remove all the dam, it will remove all the dam that's usually removed, and whatever is not removed by salting, we declare as loyal habot, the juice of the meat. The same thing, let's say, dam yivon shalok tirish, if you have a piece of raw flesh, and the blood is inside in the capillaries. If you have blood in the arteries, blood in the arteries is blood, that you're not allowed to eat. But if you have blood in the capillaries, the blood in the capillaries is called damu vantulapiris, it's called moyo habasa. You permit it to eat the raw meat the way it is, you permit it to eat raw liver the way it is. You don't have to do anything. But if you're gonna cook the liver, so the damu is gonna go out, it's gonna go back in, and then it's gonna be serious, then it's gonna become up. But then you have to broil the liver first. So other kinds of flesh, other than liver, so the Gemara says in Chumash, you can either salt it, and we assume the salting will succeed in removing everything that's called dam, whatever name's behind is called boil habasar, or you broil the meat. You require malichimu efforts because of the machleis kosher. So he, Rabbi Yehuda, used to, Mishnah Chumash, called Rabbi Yehuda Shita, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, says, that you have to cut the gravy, you have to cut the artery when you shech the chicken, because if you're going to be tzaleko, if you take that behemoth, you have, so you're not going to broil the whole behemoth in one piece. You're going to cut it up into different pieces. You're going to be cutting it up, so when you broil it, so the dam will be going out on all the directions, on all the six directions, top and bottom, and the four sides, so there's enough space for the dam to go out when you broil it. But if you're going to broil chicken, if you cut the chicken up into the little pieces, then you broil it, there's no problem. But sometimes people will broil the entire chicken so through the tachas, and you won't have too many surfaces for the blood to come out. So the blood is going to be trapped inside, and it's not really going to go out. It's like doing malicha or tliya and a cliche in a minuka. It doesn't have any problem on the bottom, so the dam should do that. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda insists in the Mishnah. He's already great, and you have to cut. You have to cut the big arteries in order to enable all of the dam to flow out. It's not a din in Hilchos Shechita. The Shechita is you cut the corner of the Reishit and the Shechita is finished. It's an issue because of dam. The problem because of dam. So he quotes Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, he thinks the same also, that there's a problem of dam. And then the third comment he said was that you should always be careful about Bnei Am Ha'aretz Shemihem Teitz Torah. You shouldn't think that the Torah will only come from those Talmidim and Yeshivas whose fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers were Talmid HaChomim. But yeah, Torah is not the Yerusha. The Gemara says in the Dorim. Yeah. The Gemara says in the Dorim that a lot of times the children of Talmid HaChomim themselves are not Talmid HaChomim. A lot of times you have a family, 40 generations of Rabbanim. One generation after the other, all the way back to by Shem. And other times the Gemara says, no, a lot of times Talmid HaChomim, their children themselves are not Talmid HaChomim. And this is in Hashemayim. The Rebbe Shlom doesn't want people to think that Torah is Yerusha. So they see to it that after the Talmid HaChomim's children will not be Talmid HaChomim. And you should be careful treating properly the Bnei Am Ha'aretz. Many of them will rock those to become great Talmid HaChomim. The Gemara has later. Yeah. I don't know. I want to go and talk to that. I have two explanations why the name shall come in a chachamim, why do not. So one suggestion is because a lot of times the Talmid HaChomim on the Razor is all about the So since they live three people, so their children turned off a little bit. It's psychological explanation. Then the other explanation that Menashe Mayim, they want people to see that Torah is not the that's a different kasha. How can that be? That people are pure chachamim. What happened to be in Hashemayim? They don't allow that. I don't know. There's more talks later about not only the Bnei Amei Ha'aretz Shemehem Teitz Torah. There's more has later some of the worst people in the history of the world became Gerim, or their descendants became Gerim. It's the same as Gemara and Amin Beis on the second wide line. Tana Rabbanan, on a bright as Gemara has, his father's in Gittin also. Naman Ger Toshav Hoya and the Guzaradin Ger Tzedek Hoya and the Guzaradin was the general that Nebuchadnezzar sent to destroy the first Beit HaMikdash. So Nebuchadnezzar, the Gemara gives the whole explanation of what happened. The Guzaradin realized that he better, the Gemara read before that. There's 10 lines right before that. So the Gemara says that Nebuchadnezzar saw that this Jewish people is something unusual and that Baruch Hashem has a special Adokha Hashem and Hashemayim. And they're being punished for killing the Chaya Hanavi, and he heard Midrash Hashem Kain Hanavi, and he's killing so many people, so he said, wow, I better stop all of this shit. The Gemara says he stopped, here at the Shuvah of the Gaite, and he was with Gaia. That's how the Gemara says right before. The Gemara quotes the Brisa to that effect, and he goes, alright, Moshe, get satisfied. The Gemara says, the descendants of Sisra, Lom the Torah of Yerushalayim, and the descendants of Tancheret, Lindu Torah Barabbas. They were Malamdu. Who had asked? It was my Rabbi. That's all part of this. The Torah doesn't go to Yerusha. Sometimes you have children of Amei Ha'aretz. They become big Talmid HaChomim. Sometimes you have children of Rishoyim, of Nochrim, or of big Rishoyim. And they can become big Tzadik and a big Talmid HaChomim. Who is that? Who is that? The Shmai Batali. The Gemara says, the Bnei Balam Shalom, Lom the Torah of Yerushalayim. That's a shayla on this Gemara on the day. So it says, Shmai the Abtali were descendants of the Bnei Bonim Shal Tanchev. They were descendants of Tancheles. So who was this guy over here? So the Rambam writes in the Tirush HaMishnayos on Tirkev that Shmai the Abtali were Gaelic. Where did he get that they were Gaelic? Because the Gemara says in Yuna. The Gemara says, Yesen Bnei Amamayel Ishlom. They were walking, used to walk home to Tangodal on Yom Kippur after the Seder Avodah was all finished. So there was a whole crowd of people walking them home. And then on the way walking home to Tangodal after the Seder Avodah, they see the chief rabbi, Maya, I guess, is walking in the street. Everybody left to Tangodal and they started walking to, they started walking home the chief rabbi, Shmai. The most of the Tangodal gave a bracha. But he said a little, with the going. He says, Yesen, the Gerim should go and be. He refers to Shmai Batalin as Yesen, Bnei Amamai of Islam. So the Rambam understands that they themselves were Gerim. They themselves were Gerim. That's the Maharam in Prague has that title. I can see the Mishnah says in Hurry, that there's a din of 500 other short people. If the Bez Nagoda made a mistake in Tzad, that's why they said that Mutter certain things with Rashabis, things Mutter did on Yom Kippur, some kind of an issue with this Torah, So they were mapped with something by mistake, and then Rav had people violate their based on the status of Bez Nazar. Instead of requiring each person to bring his own chassid, and we say, like, if there's not going to bring one 500 of the Shiva, and everybody will be able to. That deen only applies when Mishnah says, all the members of the Bez Nazar were present when they took the vote. They're not always there when they take the vote. Sometimes they went to a chassid, and it's something to be different. So you have to have all the members of the Bez Nazar have to be there. And the Gemara says, and all the 71 members of Bez Nazar have to be roy to be members of Bez Nazar. If one of them is a ger, and that's not allowed to have a ger as a member of Bez Nazar, so the whole vote doesn't count, and there's no institution of 500 Shal Tibur, and each and every person has to bring his own chatzis. Everyone who is in Chal Shabbos, or a young kid, or whatever, has to bring his own chatzis. You see from the Mishnah that a ger can't be a member of the Bez Nazar, yeah, that becomes a sheep rabbi. The Gemara says in Chagiga that all the names that appear in the Pirkei Avos, my God, comes from your hand. It says, Yosef ben Yezer, Yosef ben Yochanan, Yosef Shlaim, whenever it has two names, so the first one is the Nasi, and the second one is the Abdel. It says this, my God, Talion, not some of them members of the Abdel. The first one was the chief rabbi, and the next one was the assistant chief rabbi. So that's what the Maharal Mipraz, yes, that Kasha against the Rambam, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, and the Pirkei Avos is the Talmud of the Maharal Mipraz. That the Yanti took over his Rabbanit in class. Yes, and then I'll pass the word. Yes, how can it be? How can it be what the Rambam says, the Shema Daf Talmud of the chief rabbi and the city chief rabbi, they were daring? It's a impossible. They can't be members of the Bez Nazar appear. And Maral claims that it doesn't mean, yes, and the Rambam, my Rishlam doesn't mean that they themselves were daring. They were descendants from daring. Yeah, well, how did the Rambam know that they were daring? Because the Gemara comments as a Mishnah in its voice. That's how we pass. So the Mara says that Hillel was a Talmud of the Shmaya. Talmud, I think the Mara says that he said Maloi him, Maim Shuvim Parsim Mitzvah. So why did he say Maloi him? Because the Rebbe said Maloi him Maim Shuvim. The Chai Barim Lama B'Loshan Rabbi. Hillel had to say over the same day the Rebbe said. What did the Rebbe say Maloi him? The Rebbe could have said him Maim Shuvim Parsim Mitzvah. So the Mara says because the Ger the Nochrim find it difficult to pronounce the head. And they find it difficult, you guys, they find it difficult to pronounce the head. But finally then, they couldn't pronounce the head. That they're gonna say, him, mein Schuhen, person, von Mikve, it's gonna sound like, a, mein Schuhen, person, von Mikve. So they'll convey the wrong impression. So when Shmaya or Atari, whichever one was saying over the din, so he had to say, Maloy, in, Mein Schuh. So if you just say in Mein Schuh, they'll think a Mein Schuh, but in some mixer. So Satan said it doesn't pass. He meant to say that if you had a hin, a volume of a hin of water, so he had to say Maloi hin Mein Schuh. So he had to say because he couldn't pronounce Hebrew well. But Hillel, his Talmud, knew how to pronounce Hebrew. So why did Hillel say the whole sentence the way the Rebbe said? He could have said, hin Mein Schuh, but I'm going to have to say Maloi. So Chai Barim Lam of Alosh and Ram. That's what he wanted. So why couldn't Shmai Bar Talmud pronounce Hebrew? That's what the Rambam understood, that they themselves were Gerim. They themselves were Gerim. It's their descendants from Gerim, an earlier generation. So why would they be mispronouncing Hebrew? Why did they pronounce Hebrew properly? That's what the Rambam apparently thinks. Right? What does he do? That Tasha, that's the Maral Tasha. How can it be that Shmai Rav Talim were Gerim? They can't even be members of the Bez Nazar. That's the Maral Mikrag Tasha. So Rashid used to say on that Tasha, that you see from the Gemara and Sanhedrin earlier, that they were different. Why can't a ger be a member of the Bez Nazar? The Mishnah in Hari is, why not? It's an Indian of Sarota. You're not permitted, the Pasuk says, some talk malach ha-melech, mikera v'achecha talk malach ha-melech. Rasukha lach lelach yishnacha shaloi achicha hu. But the Mishnah says, not only you're not permitted to appoint the Nochu as the melech of the Kuala Yisrael, you have to appoint a person who has a good yichis in a position of sorority over others. You're not permitted to appoint a ger. You know, so you can't appoint a ger to be the melech of Klal Yisrael. It has to be mikera v'achecha, imukha shevachecha. It has to have the same yichus or more in order to have a sorority position over the others. So to be a member of the Bez Nazar, to pass an issue of the Klal Yisrael, also it's an issue of sorority. It can be passed on to everybody. So you can't have gerim in that position. Just to be appointed to be a member of Bez Nazar, that's the Surah. So Rabbi Rashi pointed out that the Gemara has the Rambam, of course, the Gemara is on Teches on a day, The Gemara has that there were two differences between the Bezen HaGadol and the other Batidinim of 23 and 3, and so on. The Bezen HaGadol of 71 used to meet even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Used to meet on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Either the Mishnah ain't done on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What are they meeting for? And then the Gemara has also, it's a long drive on Teches on base, but it says also they had longer hours. There's not going to be Shisham Yoshim Tom Shal Shachar. A Tom Shal Ben Abayim. Tom Shal Shachar was always brought every day before, at the crack of dawn. Hey, I mean, just before, an hour before sunrise. Very early. An hour before sunrise or so. Till the Tom Shal Ben Abayim, that's till the afternoon. There's not going to be a sitting session a whole day till, at a lunch break or something, but they sat in session a whole day till the Tom Shal Ben Abayim was in the middle of the afternoon. Every other Bezin doesn't sit so long. Every other Bezin just sits till around 12 o'clock and that's it. It sits in the morning till 12 o'clock and they call it to so how come the Bezin HaGadol meets so much longer? Because the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchot Mamrim, starts off by stating that the Bezin HaGadol are the sort of the Kollel of Klal Yisrael. Their job really is to preserve the Masorah and to transfer the learning from generation to generation. Once in a while, you'll need a Bezin HaGadol to pass on an Iran Idaha. How often did it come up in the history of the world? And the Iran Idaha, one time it says, Lahaibali Arthur Dias, never was, never is going to happen. Or once in a level when you ain't done the Tandela, you wanted to judge the king, ain't done the Tangoda level, the Bezin HaShashiliyah. How often did it come up? Maybe once in 100 years, they judge the king, maybe they judge the Tangoda. Didn't come up so often, they could do a judgment. So, oh, how often did it come up that Bezin HaGadol had an issue of stock? He called me Chazav Alam Mishpat, he dam the dam, he didn't have to be Machir. He come up so often. And that's all the Machlaikis in the way they were. Shevet Zvulun had their own Bezin HaGadol, they passed them for Shevet Zvulun, Shevet Yitzchak had their own Bezin HaGadol, they passed them for them. And they had, they followed their sheep, and they followed their sheep, like today. Chidin followed theirs, and then the Snagna followed theirs, and these followed theirs, they followed the Tzad, and they followed the Magen Avraham. They followed their own guns, and the days that they come in, so every shaman had their own Bezin HaGadol. Once in a long while, they would bring an issue up to the Bezin HaGadol. So a lot of times Bezin HaGadol would say, we don't want to take a stand. The Supreme Court has to pass in every shadow that they present, they have to pass. A lot of times they leave it alone, they don't want to take a stand. But once in a while, the Bezin HaGadol would pass. Oh, what? If the Bezin HaGadol is going to pass from the Gan Tzolzo, that's already an act of slur. But that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. You can appoint Shmai Rav Talion to be members of the Kollel, of the super duper Kollel, Klal Yisrael, most qualified, if they know how to learn, be put into the Kollel, and they learn from Tamisha Shachar to Tamisha Ben Abraham, and they think you learn Shabbat going to also. If an issue will come up that's going to need a stock from the Bezin HaGadol, that's already an act of Surare, either a stock over the Melech, or a stock here in the Zachas, or a stock for all of Klal Yisrael, so these two will have to excuse themselves. My Rav Tam have to excuse themselves. They get two other people to take the place at the time of the voting. And then they'll vote. We'll have all 71 members of the Bezin HaGadol will not be given. So the Torah aspect of the Bezin HaGadol can't have a gear. But for the Kollel aspect, if the gear is qualified, you're going to get for the Shra. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. I saw over here the Chidor also quotes that Tasha. How can it be? According to the Rambam, Shmai Ba'atalim were Gerim. How can it be that they were appointed members of the Bezin HaGadol Noch and the chief rabbi and the assistant chief rabbi? They not be in the Abed. But he quotes Rashbay in the Shulchan Rashbay. If you go on the Ayangaitis here, he quotes from the Rashbay, gives a different answer. He says, this halacha is that you can't appoint a person who's lacking in Yichis to the position of Surah. Let's say the president of the shul. President of the shul is not foundation. The president of the shul is a position of Surah. So the Rambam writes, son talks to Malach and Melach, Melach will write Malcha. Israel has his Russia like that. You're not supposed to appoint a woman to a position of Surah over men. If the woman's auxiliary, the woman's club, they appoint a woman as the president over the women. It's not a job. But if it's an organization called the Klal Yisrael, they're not supposed to have a Golden Meir, she needs to be Rosh HaMemshala. But they have that salvation, was it permissible to appoint Golden Meir as the Rosh HaMemshala? A woman, they said, in Ben-Gurion with Musa. Ben-Gurion doesn't have to carry it. So you're asking about the Golden Meir. Moshe has a tshuva. Moshe wrote originally as a tshuva, it's permissible for, there was a, There was a Rav Zenda who used to give a hazdoch on some kind of a kosher product, and he died at a young age. The shayla was whether his almana, she needed a parnasa. So the people in the food industry, they were prepared to have her maintain the hazdoch. But the question is that acceptable that a woman should say this is under the supervision of Rebbe's and Zenda? Is that okay? So Moshe has a chub. He says, yes. But the Rambam says that you're not permitted to have a woman in the position of Sarara. So Moshe thinks that Tosfos and all the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam in passing against the Rambam. So later, when Golda Meir was appointed to Rosh HaMenshalah, so they were upset about Rav Moshe's chub. So he said, it's all his fault. It's all because of Rav Moshe. So if I would have been Rav Moshe, I would have left. My fault. So Moshe didn't live, and he wrote a children. Oh, that. He felt compelled to respond. So he writes that new children. So then, how would they get back to the Shaila? Then he asked me the Shaila. They don't look at my Igret Moshe. They don't know what I took to stand there. Women, Mashiach, women, Rabbi Masha. It has nothing to do with me. I would have just left the whole thing up. But Moshe, because that's Tariq, he felt that expresses the thing. So Moshe felt that you don't pass them like that, Rambam, that you can't appoint a woman to any position of growth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Okay, you have kids. So you have problems. The Rambam quotes that, you know, there is a Gemara, though. You can't appoint a heir to any position of growth, not only to Malkus. The Gemara is the same problem, call the team of the Mashma. So the Gemara says if you have a labor union, the Gemara says if you have a Vatapregis union, which consists of Gerim and non-Gerim, so the Gemara says you're not permitted to appoint a Ger, Reshkar Gevatna, no. Reshkar Gevatna, the Gemara says you can't appoint a Ger to be the head of the union, because that's the position of Tzor. So the Rambam assumes that a Ger is the same as an Isha, so just like you can't appoint a Ger, Kalmatim is the Mashma, so Isha can't appoint any position of Tzor. The Moshe thinks that it's not so, and he claims that Taishas all over assumes that by Isha, there's no problem of Torah, so he thinks that it's a mitzvah. That's why Pankra Moshe, it's not, strictly speaking, there's no violation if you appoint a woman as the president of the shul. Pankra Moshe. I don't know what he would say, but maybe he feels that it's a violation of Tzir. But strictly speaking, it's not a violation of Torah. And Rav Soloveitchik thought not to Rav Soloveitchik to tell that woman that he could follow the Rambam. That the Rambam says, you're not permitted to appoint a woman to any. A woman is like a ger, learned that from the same truth, you're not allowed to appoint. So how come once in a while we do appoint a ger, or we do appoint a woman? So that's what the Chizor quotes from the Rashbei. Sometimes the ger gets a definition. That's what the definition points at. There's a chavam, then Shlomo, and Governor Malach died, so Shlomo Malach got the Malchus Yerusha. Shlomo Malach died, his son, the chavam, got the Malucha. So the chavam's mother, was a Gerit. So the Rambam says you only allowed a point to Malchus, it's a Gemara, the Tzeptes is in hand. You only allowed to appoint to Malchus a person who's of the Imam Israel. So both parents were naturally Jewish. So here, Rechavam's mother was a Gerit. So after they appoint him as a Melech, so the definition, I think the definition is in the Tzeret. He says the Chavim got to be Yerushim. They didn't appoint him. That's Aloha only in Tchilas HaYismanim. When you appoint someone as a Melech, then you have to appoint Yishkin Ger and Amiyuchas and Yishkin Isha and so on. But what if someone was appointed to Dastik Aloha to Din and that person died and then so one of his descendants gets to be Yerushim? You get to be Yerushim, you're not being the man of him. That's, I think, the definition of writes like that. Well, not the definition of Yerushim. They write on the Rambam beginning of Hilchas Malach. Here the Chido has another quote from the Rav Zeitz. What if you're looking at all the candidates whom we're considering, and the only one that can really do a good job? The others are really not fit for the job. Let's say president of the shul. So sometimes the only one who's going to do a good job is going to be a woman. If you'll appoint the other people, some in the big shul, in the big city, doesn't come up with so many members, but sometimes in a little village. You don't have so many people in the membership, so if you want to appoint a man is busy, runs around all day to make a living. How does he consent to be the chaplain at the Rachum of the Shul? So that's what the Chizor quotes over here. He says, why do they appoint a Ger? If the Rambam is in Shmai Ba'atam again, how could they appoint them to be members of the Shul, to be the Havdezin and the Nazi? So he says, they saw under the circumstances that they were the most qualified for the job, so they couldn't overlook them. So they had it's not really a violation of Sen Tosin. Then talking that you should
choose the mukhash of achechmis. If you have a choice to either appoint this person or that person, so don't choose the gear. So don't appoint the isha to a position of throat. Don't appoint the gear to a position of throat. But if it's not at all zelobo b'cheshbon, this person will do a good job, this one will simply not do a good job. If you have no brain, that's what the chiyok will. To answer this Rambam. Yes, father was an Eved. Father was an Eved. Also wasn't Roy Lamalka. That's how the Gemara says. It wasn't really Roy Lamalka. It wasn't right that they appointed him. Yeah. Tyson's close, yeah. You see from the text that you can get smicha. That's an answer already. You see from the text that you can get smicha to a get. That's how it's first Rabbein Avraham Agel. But the question is, did they ever appoint them a rabbi in a community? It's Rabbein Avraham Agel. Let's say sometimes a boy is a get, he gets smicha to a yeshiva, and he has get, and he gets smicha to a yeshiva. They have to get smicha. Can the balabatim in the community appoint them as a rabbi? Or let's say a chazan. He had a student in yeshiva who is a get. And he studied to be a chazan. He was going to be the chazan in a famous community. So that's all thought through. That's in Shulchan Aruch every day. That to be appointed as the chazan officially, chazan kavura, and to be appointed as a rabbi is considered a tzar. It's not an adult out. Unless they have nobody there. It's a community. They don't have anybody there. And they have this gear who was brought up in their community. He was inspired by them. And they know that he's a good candidate. And they'll come to yeshiva and learn and go back. He's prepared to go to their community in Ashkosh, whatever was there in Europe. That he'll make a good rabbi because he was brought up with them. Okay, so that's greater. That's what the Chizor says. Huh? So we're afraid that he doesn't have this authority to be negging on them because it fires on him. He's going to feel upset. Why they fired him when they appointed? So they fired him. What can he do? But then he's going to appoint someone else. He's going to feel upset. Why is that guy taking my job? That's his dynamic mindset. So if it's going to be a person with heavy yichus, so the yichus will be negan on him. So the Gemara says, they're afraid, duma manishle. So the Gamliel may curse or may give a krech, be upset over the fact that he's a chief gedam and zanshtele, his chief rabbi, and he may be punished because of that. That's what I think of the Gemara. The Gemara says that Nebuchadnezzar, the Gemara says, Vati b'nei baruch shalot to Russia. The Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha, his descendants, his grandchildren also wanted to convert. And the Malachi Asher didn't let. Malachi Asher said, how can you do that? Baruch Shalom, he destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, so he didn't let. But the others, he did allow. I quote the Pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, Yifinu et Bavel, Eloi Nirfisa. We were trying to heal Bavel, and to Nizhi Gango. What does it mean? We tried to heal Bavel and it didn't work. The Gemara says that's what it's an allusion to. But the Merapi Bavel means that the Bnei Bonim shall, the Nebuchadnezzar should become Gerit, they should be Nichnas, Kaf, Hashtina, and the Malachim didn't let the Bnei Shalom do that. It's an interesting concept. I don't know, that Cook has in one of his stories, a comment. I don't know if this is his own belief or he's quoting it from a Zohar or some other statement. It says, Mochatim Chazech Amalek Yitachat HaShemayim. So he says the expression, Yitachat HaShemayim is the exclusion of the name Allah Shemayim. From our perspective, we have to wipe out Amalek. And the one from the perspective, it's called Madalach Mono Lechavah, is everything that Amalek did is wonderful. And Amalek is the Torah. Everything is the Torah. But from the one perspective, something is good is going to come from Amalek. So that's what the Gemara says. From Sancheret and from Naaman. Naaman originally was a general who was fighting against the Nato. All these people, the Zarazim, was a general who actually destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. The Nebuchadnezzar was not there when they were destroying the Beit HaMikdash. The Gemara quotes on the top. On the top of Tzadik Vav and the Beit. The Gemara says, Nebuchadnezzar was in Riblosso, Zuan Tukya. He wasn't there when they were destroying. He just sent his general. And the Gozaradim said destroy the Beit HaMikdash. The Pasuk says that he was there. The Pasuk says, Rumiya there in Yirmiya, that the Nebuchadnezzar was there. So he says he wasn't really there. They had his image engraved on the chariot. Or this Gozaradim, his general,
was such an abbot, he was so coupled to his king, Nebuchadnezzar, that he considered as if Nebuchadnezzar was in front of him. Every step of the way, when he was Rabbi was giving instructions how to burn the Beit HaMikdash, how to do everything, everything was because he was signaling from Nebuchadnezzar. So the Pasuk considered it as if Nebuchadnezzar was really there, but it wasn't really there. So the Gemara says, they both. Nebuchadnezzar Rabbin converted, and Nebuchadnezzar's children also converted. Something good came out of all of these people. And even though we have the impression from our perspective that this was the epitome of evil, this is Kula Ra, that Mitachas Kol Shemayim Rabbi, Allah Shemayim, and Baruch Shemayim's perspective, something good did come out. The Tamilim once did up to Rachel, when he was talking about this on Tisha B'Av, so this appears in the Agada Tein Gitna, and Daphne Zayin, or the Agada Tein Gitna. So he asked them, what does he think about the Nazis? Well, they, can you say the same thing? The name of the Nazis, they'll convey into the temple. He says, on Haman, on this, he can do it. He says, the Nazis, he talks for other pure riches, he doesn't see any good coming out of them. I don't know. The Humor has a famous Agarata on Omid Aleph and Sadi Gogam and Aleph that the Sukkim say in Yirmiyah is Yor HaMelech was sick and he didn't shy about his thing to do. The Shai tells him he's going to die because he didn't marry and he didn't have children. He didn't have any children. So the Gemara Brachas quotes the whole story. He says he saw the Ruach HaKodesh and if he has children he's going to be Rishoyim. And he won't be in fulfillment in the midst of Tiri Rivia anyway. So Rivia, you only hear it if you have children who are observant in the sense that Yiddish guys are children. But if you have children who are observant, they are the reverse. So it's an Eastern. So he said he can't fulfill them anyway. Why not? So Yishaya Anari tells him, the Harikash Ahmad Alamalah, it's not so. You get married and you'll have children. So when he was in the Kabbalah himself, he was going to get married, so right away he got better. He was holding by God. Right away he got better. And then the Navi Yeshaya then tells him, Navi Yeshaya tells him as when his father, his father was Ochas HaMelech. Ochas HaMelech was another Rabbi Rizal. So when he died, when Ochas HaMelech died, so the Gemara says, Nidzabiyed as Nima, that his Tiyanel Shigirat Mitzal of Amit Shal Chavolim. And his father died despite the fact that it was his father, he was the Melech of all of the Eretz Yisrael. He was Mevazah, the father's body, and they didn't deliver a hefted at the funeral, and then they did his own dick for it. What was the chosman to be Mevazah? There's no mitzvah of Kibirav. If the father's not alive, there is still a mitzvah. Mechadim, 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 Lacham, Oysan. But if the father's a Russia, there's no din of Kibirav after he's alive. And Melech Yisrael, while he's alive, even if he's a Russia, there is a din of Kroid HaMelech. It says, Aliyah HaMelech, by Shannon, says, as Mosnav, he's running in front of Achav, Achav, Al Russia, was another of his word. Because Acha was alive. But as soon as he died, so then the Shalom says there's no din of Kreda Melech, Lacha Mosaf, the Melech is a Russian. So on this occasion, Chizkiya Melech wanted his father to have a kapara. So that's why he didn't, he thought that there was no hefted, he was Mevazah him, he didn't have it because of the Gesimot. So the Gemara quotes the Sukkim from Navi that in order to speak to it that no one should give it any hefted, Makar Yisrocha made an hef. And that day, normally the sun shines for 12 hours in a day. That day, the sun only shone for 2 hours, and then the sun set. Suddenly. To make sure that no one will get up and deliver it. So years later, when Chizkiya HaMelech promised that he was going to get married, and Yishaya Navi says in his chutz that he promised he was going to get married, he's going to have many more years, 15 years, I think the prophet said. 15 years is going to be added onto your life. He gives him a simon, that the 8 hours or the 10 hours, whatever was the pasuk says, the hours that were missing the day that your father died, Ochas died, and the sun set so early that day, in order that Min HaShemayim, you should be able to deliver Hesed for today, it's going to make up for that. So today, this day, you're going to get better, and the sun is going to shine instead of normal 10-12 hours, going to shine 20 hours. And that's going to be the similar davar that my nevuah is going to be fulfilled. That you're going to live an extra 15 years, you're not going to die. All the people in the world do about this. I think the Mashur, the other Mekoshin, asked Kakasha, why did he have to give him a similar Zohar? A Zohar kind of word. If a man comes to you from the street, he says, I'm a Navi, and the Rabbi Shalom told me in his word that you should take out all of your savings and buy stocks in an oil company.
don't have to listen. He said, maybe he's on sugar. He says, you have to listen. You only have to listen to the person. If you establish yourself as another mukhzor, if he shows an osam osam or something. But Yishayah Navi had already been established for many years. He's giving his word for a long time. The end of the person asked, why did Yishayah Navi have to give him an oath? Why is it a good rule without an oath? So all of a sudden, we're not sure if he's a Navi or not. I don't know. I thought the Pashtus is that it's not an oath to prove that he's a Navi Emmet. He doesn't have to give an oath every time he gives a Nebuah. I thought it's like the Ramban, like Tachumish, that if the Navi gives a Toyal Dinyon, Ramban coins the term. If the Navi gives a Toyal Dinyon, that's going to be a strong in Nebuah. Sometimes Barshon gives a Nebuah. Yishayah Navi delivers a Nebuah to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He's going to have a Rekuah Shleim. He's going to live an extra 16 years. And what if he decides to do a Ravera now? But then the Rebbeinu Shlom can say, oh, the book is only under understanding, he's going to do a tzaddik. He's going to do a tzaddik. It's the oyster good. But the Rebbeinu Shlom is nishba, he makes a shvua, he makes a bris, that this is this, the Rebbeinu Shlom says, the same as a shvua, that's our call for him. Or the Rebbeinu Shlom is right, if he makes a toil binyon, if he does some activity. But who is the Yecheskel HaNavi is told, he should take two pieces of wood and hold them together, take the two pieces of wood, and this is a similar dover that lost his lover, Yosef, if you have a shvatim, the law live in peace and harmony together. And whenever there's a nebu with a pearl demon, he acts something else. The novi is called to act something else, but that's like a shvuah, that's our kokon. Under all conditions, it's not going to be a chayzer. Such a nebu cannot be either. But that's our pashtus over here. The novi Yishai doesn't have to prove that he's a novi. He's a shayin ben a novi mukhtar for a long time. He says, Zelakoha, this is the oath that the sun is going to shine today 20 hours instead of the 12 hours. This is the oath, this is a Poel Dinyon. So this is will not be reversed, and whatever you're going to do now, you're going to have the extra 15 years. The Gul the Tug always has to come true. Yeah, I don't know. So it's only on the Nagul the Rod that it makes a difference. I don't know. The Gemara says in Shabbos, the Gul the Tug, the Ramanishom never will reverse. You go the law, sometimes yes, sometimes no, and then the Ramban. I don't know. I think the Ramban has the pearl dinion on the table. I don't know. I don't know. So here the Gemara quotes, here the Gemara says, when that occurs, that the sun was shining for 20 hours, and you say to all the people in the world, well, that the Manishtana, something's going on over here. So he asked, what happened? That they told, at that time, Sancheiros was the Melech Gadol, during the time of Chizkiyahu. So he told Sancheiros, Melech Gadol, that the Jewish king was sick, and announced a mice, and the Navi gave him a refuah, and the sun was shining as a sin in the Gadol that he's going to live on another 15 years. So he says, wow, this is the king of Eretz Yisrael, this is the Jewish God, you have to send him a letter. So he says he was composing his letter. So usually his scribe was Nebuchadnezzar, was the scribe for Sancheiros. He was the secretary. Secretary took over later and became the king. Secretary later on became the king. Huh? Oh, okay. So years later, the secretary became the king, Melech Gadol. So at that time, he was only the secretary. So that day, Kumsi wasn't there. So when he wrote the letter, so he wrote, Shalom Aleichem, Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda. And Shalom to the Jewish city, Yerushalayim. And Shalom to the God of the Jewish city. So he sent the letter that they should deliver it to, someone's going to go deliver it to Chizkiyahu HaMelech in Yerushalayim. So the Nebuchadnezzar comes back at the end of the day. He says, I missed the whole day's work. I wasn't doing my secretarial work. Were there any letters sent to them? Zafta, yeah, we sent the letter to Chizkiyahu HaMelech because it is. And what is the same letter? Zafta, Shalom Aleichem to Chizkiyahu HaMelech Yud, and Shalom Aleichem to Yerushalayim, Shalom Aleichem to God of the Jewish people. He said, the God of the Jewish people made all of Yisrael in a cloth and you put him last. Where are your brains? Where did that Harris? Get back the letter. You have to get back the letter. So Achera tells Nebuchadnezzar, Krina di Garza, Ilu Levi Parvanka. That's a good idea that you say, okay, you get back the letter. That's how the Gemara says, the 6-7 lines on the bottom. Krina di Garza, that's your Einfalt. One of the Parshman says, that's the job of the secretary. You're my secretary. So you usually say Krina di Garza doesn't only mean the one who is the secretary. It happens over here. Nebuchadnezzar, the mother, was the secretary of Sancheiros Melech Gadol. But he usually means the one who comes up with the idea, so I'm having him that he should do it. Kind of the guy, so we learn about the Rubin Shriyat. That's Simcha. Yeah, that's Simcha. He wasn't any secretary. It means that you pointed it out that the Jinnah is Kanoim Pogimo, so you go take care of it. So he started running, Rosh Basrei,
he started running, Rukhanetz started running after the Shliach was about to deliver the thing, and he was prepared to run around the month because he thought that this is such a chil Hashem to say Shalom Aleichem to the Jewish God left. First he didn't say Shalom Aleichem to the king and then Shalom Aleichem to the Jewish God at the end. So he was prepared to run a long distance. The Malach was mapped him. And somehow the Malach arranged that he should only run 3 or 4 steps. We have different gears in the Gemara. The Gemara says Arbel Tzir. And on the side, on the margin, on the right hand side margin, they say that in the Midrashim and the Alfred Shemani, it says Sholosh Tzir. The two verses that he ran, he was prepared to run around and run in order to retrieve the letter, to correct this improper writing of the letter. He only ran either 3 or 4 Tzir, then the Malach stopped, and then the Gemara says, wow. If the Malach wouldn't have stopped him and he would have run and shown such cover to the Elokei Yisrael, the Baruch Hu would have made him the top man in the world. Amalu got that the Malach stopped him, and then he only ran 3 steps. So as a reward for the fact that he showed cover to Elokei Yisrael, that he ran 3 or 4 steps, that's why later, years later, when he became the king, when the second time he became the king of Bozel, that's why, in a sense, it was Arad, to destroy the Yerushalayim, that's why the Baruch Hu gave him Hatzlacha, and he succeeded in destroying Yerushalayim. That's how the Gemara says. On this Gemara, there's a famous comment that the Mashiach has, but in Shulchan Aruch they have this comment. We have, the Gemara Yumis says, when you're about to daven Shmoneh, you say you should step forward 3 steps. When you finish the Shmoneh, you step back 3 steps. So what is that all about? So the Pashat Pshat is that we live in the middle of this world, and when we're preparing ourselves to daven, says the Baruch Shalom, Manasseh, says you should walk a little bit away. You shouldn't stay where you are, in the middle of everything. And then when you finish davening, you should step back into this world. You shouldn't think that you're still in heaven with the Baruch Shalom, and you're going to fear your life like this. You should realize when you daven, you're like this. Raman writes a lot like that. When a person davens, he should be like, hey, Lifnei in heaven. He should visualize in his mind as if he's standing in heaven and davening in the presence of the Baruch Hu. And so when he begins to daven, he should step forward. So when he finishes, he should step back to him. The first one have a maploike is what happens if he's davening by the mitzvah club. There's no way to walk forward. So many people have the meaning that you walk back 3 steps in order to enable yourself to walk forward 3 steps. And many others say, no, that doesn't make any sense. There's no way to walk. So you stand where you are. You take one answer. Why should you walk back 3 steps in order to train yourself to walk forward 3 steps? If you can walk forward, it's good. There's no way to walk. So you're not where you are. So that says in the Gemara Yumas, a part of it. The Gemara Yumas says, when you finish, you step back 3 steps. Stepping forward, that doesn't say in the Gemara, but it's understood. When you start, it says when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the snare, it was burning, so it says that he stepped forward. So how does he start to say, Vayosavir? I think the Nebi says on that part, he stepped forward 3 steps. When you're approaching the Shekhinah, you should walk away from the humdrum of life, and you should walk to a different place. And then when he finished, so he walked back 3 steps to come back into this room. But then we have a minute, this minute already doesn't change tomorrow. After we step back, we step, the other thing she's gonna make Hamidus Nehel Yamin. Why don't we say in the Shemana Esther, you ask me she's gonna make Hamidus? At the time you told us on the Mirror, why don't you say there, you ask me she's gonna, why do you say this in the after the precept? So that's what the Mashiach quotes, but in Shulchan Aruch in the question have this. Because Sancheirah was successful in destroying the Beit Hamidus because of the three steps. It's Chag Gimel Tzius that he took, let's roll this on Mokkain. So we take 3 steps, also the Chodesh Hamlachim. We step back from at the end of the Shemana Esrei, the Chodesh Hamlachim to demonstrate that we're just namish in the presence of the Shekhinah, and now we're walking away from the Shekhinah. So we take 3 steps back, and then we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like Sancheirah was rewarded as a star for his 3 steps. The Nebuchadnezzar was given success in destroying the Beis HaMikdash. So our 3 steps, the Chodesh Hamlachim, should be rewarded. If you want to make something with the heaven, man, you should just have to see the Beis HaMikdash we go. So that's what Beis HaMikdash is Gemara. Well, it's taken, right? The Gemara comes to Gemara on the base has an expression that the famous line of Chaim Volozhiner talks about this in Nefesh HaChaim. The Gemara says that when the Nizarabi destroyed the first Beit Hamikdash, the Gemara says he became Zocha Daite. That's the 15, 20 lines from the top of Tzadik Bovenrei. The Gemara says Zocha Daite. He thought, wow, he succeeded in destroying the Beit Hamikdash. I must be a great man. The voice came out in heaven, Nafka Basko Yomale, Amaskila Katla, you killed people who were dead already. Echla Kalya Kolis, you burnt the Beit HaMikdash that already was burnt to ashes. And Kimcha Tina Tina, you ground up flour that was already ground up. You didn't do anything. What does it mean? That the sins of Bnei Yisrael had already caused that there was a Gmardin, a Gmardin against them, that they should all the people should die, the Beit HaMikdash should be destroyed, and everything should be in a state of Kurban. So he was just touching up. But everything was already destroyed. It wasn't that he accomplished it with his strength, it was because the Bnei Yisrael had sinned. That expression, Kincha Tzina Tzina. Some of the people who lived through the Nazi persecution made such a comment. Other people were unhappy about it. But some of them said, when we were young Talmidim in Yeshiva, so we would imagine in our minds, oh, in Europe, there must have been so much learning and so much Yerushalayim and everything, which in a certain sense was true, different parts of Europe. One of the Rabban said he had learned from the Mir Yeshiva. He said, yeah, Mir Yeshiva, he had 400 Talmidim from 400 different cities. So it's not like now, that you have in Borough Park and every corner you have five, four Yeshivas, and all the children go to Yeshiva till they get married. He said, the Mir Yeshiva had 400 Talmidim, came out from 400 different cities. One Talmud from the city, the others went to work. And many were communists, and many were not religious at all, and so on. He said, we shouldn't. Many of them were tzaddikim. In Poland, many were tzaddikim. But he said, many of them were not religious at all. So he made such a comment, he thought that it was a prima, kimcha, prima, prima. And others were unhappy about that. Others who survived the Holocaust were unhappy about hearing such a comment. They didn't think it corresponded to their community. The Gemara says the statement about the Bais Rishon, at the time that the Jews are riding, destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, that the Basco came out and said, Simcha Tzina Tzina. And this Gemara, one of the commentaries on the bottom of the Ein Yankov, written by the Chok Yankov. There's a commentary that's called Iul Yankov. He always has halachic comments. He said, as I gotta say, he usually has halachic. So he points out that there's a problem over here. The Gemara says that the descendants of Haman, the Bnei Bona Shal Haman, love the Torah of the Bnei Brak. Obviously, they converted. That's on the fourth white line on Sadugov on the day. So he says this poses a problem because there's a Mechilta that says in the end of Parashat Bishala, that you're not allowed to be Mekabel Geirim from Amalek. So the Pasuk says, Amon HaGogi, and Agog was Amaleki. Amon was an Amaleki. So how could it be Mekabel Geirim Amalek? That's the Kasha that he is. So some Achrayim claimed, some Achrayim quote the Talmud in Yishalmi, and the Gemara says that Amon was not really an Amaleki. I have come in the Megillah says to him, he's described as an Amalek. He did my Amalek, he did the same as Amalek, just like Amalek wants to wipe out the entire new people. Amalek also plans to do the same. That's why you lost him. Huh? Agogi. Now, Agog was a Jew, it was Melech Amalek. So the Yishami says it's not really true, he wasn't really a descendant of Agog. He called him Haman Agogi because he did my Sadat. Because he did my Amalek, what he did he was. That's how some, they quoted Yishami like that. Some of them quote that Yisham to answer the Kasha, the Rashi says on Chumash, Timcha Zech HaMolek, you're not allowed to, you have to kill all the people from HaMolek. You're not permitted to be menace in any property that belongs to HaMolek. Yishora, say, you're not allowed to take anything. The Pasuk says he said to Shmuel, that when Shmuel HaMolek commanded Shaul to wipe out HaMolek, he says you kill all the Benjamin. So that's a Shaila, was that a Hirash, sure, only on that occasion. He was commanded, is that a real Din L'Zoris? That's not all the generations, the Din requires you have to wipe out. You show that they're not allowed to get on other medicines. And Rashi Nachum is right, that's the Din L'Zoris. And in Hasin Ochet, there's a deep look at Rashi. He thinks that maybe it's only the Hirashua. So the that's a kasha that Dachoinim is. It says in the end of Megillah Esther that it's Beis Haman. It says Ahasuerus gave over all the property of Beis Haman to Mordechai and Esther. He took all the property. He took all the money. If you should follow Rashi, she said that it's a deal of those, not just for Harosho. In the time of Shaul Anoth, he had to wipe out the Shaul Anoth. So you're deal of those. You're not allowed to get Anoth many money, many properties that belong to Amos. So how were they permitted? How was Mordechai and Esther permitted to take Beis Haman? That's the question. So the Rabbi Yochum Perla has in his commentary on Sefer Yisrael, he quotes the three terutzim that the Achrayim give on this task. So one terutz he quotes is, the Talmud Yerushalmi says that Haman wasn't really from Amos. He wasn't really from Amos. He did Maisa Amos. He did Maisa Amos. He wasn't really a biological descendant of Amalek, so therefore the din doesn't play. Then he has other terutzim also. He has another terutz. The only time you have this din, if you're not allowed to be menace from anything from Amalek, that's only if they still wage a war that's waged by a Jewish army that's sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Well, there was no Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Ahasuerus was a Nachri. They happened to kill, if there would be Shaul HaMelech was in Melech Yisrael, he had a Jewish army in Eretz Yisrael, but when he waged war against Amalek, and then the din is surely upset. So that's Taka Kondarashi, that's the din with Eretz. But here, on this occasion, no one was waging any war. The din is Muhammad Hashem Amalek. It's only Derech Muhammad. It's not Derech Muhammad, the whole din doesn't apply. Let's say you see an Amaleki walking down the block. There's a mitzvah, the horza, the pashtus says that not. Some say that yes. But the pashtus says that not. The Rambam writes that by Zion Amini. He says, well, it's a chai kol nisham, it's a din. If you see someone walking down the block, you can identify him as one of the Zion Amini. So it's a mitzvah, the horza, you can get away with it. But by Amalek, the Rambam never wrote it. So the pashtus says, because the Lashon HaPashtus is Muhammad Hashem Amalek. It's only Derech Muhammad. Only if he had the Yiddish army sponsored by the Yiddish government and everything, so he had none of that. So the whole deal of Amalek didn't apply. That's the second territory. Then he gives the third territory, the third focus. Well, he gives the third territory. And just like you have the Gemara, Amar Moya Ptiha Lodisichon, the only time there's an Easter to take the name Tova Kenen and not to take Amar Moya, it's only to take direct this Amar Moya. But the Tichon made war against them and he conquered their territory and then the Easter to relate to Tichon. So since it was laundered, he learned the Gemara left it. Since it was laundered, there was on Saturday dollar in a day. He's flying from the bottom. So therefore, the Yisra didn't apply. So the same over here, that's how he quotes the suggestion from Achrayim. That Haman was Harugi Melech. So Harugi Melech on the same La Melech. That's the Gemara earlier, I think, on Chesan day. Harugi Melech is a Machloikis HaTanan. He passed the Harugi Melech on the same La Melech. So Haman's property really belonged to Ahasuerus. And Ahasuerus can do whatever he wants. Ahasuerus gave it over. He gave all the Beis Haman to Mordechai Esther. So the only time you say it's also by Hanoah, if you get any Hanoah from Amalek's property, is you can take directly from Amalek. But if someone else takes from Amalek, and then he takes from someone else, it's like Tihal of the Tichon. Since it was laundered, so there's no prohibition. So this is the discussion that they have. This is all on the assumption, this is the machlokes that they have, whether Haman was really from Amalek or not. If you should assume like the Talmud, Yishan Haman was not from Amalek, they were all Kasha, but the Kohenish Tone was the Chaykan Kadesh over here. How can it be that they were Mekabel Gerim, and the Mechilta said, they Mekabel Gerim the Amalek. So a few Achroinim say, I think the Chidor, in his commentary on the Anyankim, and others say, that the Rambam never quoted that Mechilta, they Mekabel Gerim the Amalek. So it suggests that's exactly the reason why. The Rambam at Pashtanim, that we do more, it's further down the Mechilta. Din Talmud was also from Amalek, and he says that his descendants converted and were learning Torah in Bnei Brak. Obviously, the family is under 10 years to come and get me Amalek. And that's when you look, the Chidor says, that's when you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam writes that we have a din, Haidor is bald din to Meirei and Dom. If a person admits that he owes money to someone else, so Haidor is bald din, we learn that from a person to see who's there. It says, it's like in his bottom. If you have to see who's there, Rashi writes in Bavli too, that's the motto of the din of Haidar's Bavli Tnehendam. What if a person admits that he ate chazer and he deserves malchus, he admits that he was Mechal Shabbos and he deserves an Enish Misa? So Eilam Amesh Matzah. Rashi, you don't punish a person. So then the Rambam asks the Kasha, it says in Novi that the Gera Amaleki came to Dodan Amelah and the Barim to his dragon that he killed Shaul. So how does David kill him based on his own admission? If I just postulated the cloud that you never kill a person based on his own admission of guilt. So the Rambam writes, in the end of the Sanhedrin, in the end of the Turkey, Ches Turkey, Ches, when he develops his whole din, that a person has no nemanis to say that he did an aver to give himself an einish, only a mominus that draws public. It doesn't apply to Anshei Aguf. So the Rambam says, David the Haru Ashur Mitam Amela. The Melech has a right to make the Haru Ashur, David was another. And the Bezin has a right sometimes, not me, Anshei Shalom and Abin. But that was the Haru Ashur. David and Melech thought this guy was a shady character, and then he decided he should bump him off. Even though, strictly speaking, you shouldn't administer the death penalty based on Haru Ashur Atzmai. But David led the Haru Ashur decided he wanted to do it. So in the Parshim on the Rambam, the Mechilta gives a different answer on that question. How come David killed the Ger Amalek? And the Mechilta says, because you can't shame the Kabbalah Ger and the Amalek. And the reason why he killed him, because he was an Amalek. The Ger was never called. They had to believe him an Amalek. The Amalek is a mitzvah l'horza. So how come the Rambam doesn't say like that? The Rambam says he killed the Ger Amalek because the Ger Amalek admitted that he killed Shaul. And even though he ain't on the Mechilta Matzah Rasha, you never punish a person based on his own admission of guilt, but this is David HaMelech had a right to do it, and well, sure. But the Rambam is not saying the same answers in the Chulta. So that's what the Chidor says, Adirah, because the Rambam doesn't hold like in the Chulta. The Rambam holds that the Babli is Mechulach with the Chulta. Because the Babli says, Mnei Bonav Shal Haman, Rambam deserved it, Mnei Barak. If one assumes that Haman was from Amalek, that's the question. In Shalmi, when the Gila said Haman was not an Amalek, he was also a Maisa Amalek, Maisa God. If one should assume Haman was from Amalek, and nonetheless, his descendants did convert and they were sitting and learning. So you see, the Babli is Mechulach with the Mechilta. So how does the Babli not understand how David killed the Ger Amaleki? So that's the answer to the Zohar Rasha. So the Ramatak is Becha de Mechilta. That's what the Chidot is. Right. That's a machloek. Is how do you learn shot in the filter? It means it's not proper to accept yes, mamolei. Well, it's that desmos shlosha had yoytes accepted him as a gear, and they didn't realize that it was from mamolei. They didn't believe that the gear is with yichal. Should you say no? Em kavgen mamolei that is. But he said yeah, but it's just not chal. The gear is not chal. So the question is, the Rambam doesn't quote it. Not lachatzil and not to the other. He doesn't quote it at all. Other rather from the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim. You never wage a war with anyone unless you offer them first shalom. And he says it about Amalek also. So he says, and then if they want to convert, you mekabel them. And if they don't want to convert, you can only make peace with them if they at least accept Shemitah Zinan. If they're not prepared to accept the Shemitah Zinan to be like the Jerkosha, then you gotta wipe them out. But the Rambam writes about Amalek also. You offer them, and if they want to convert, they would. You don't have to. They can accept Shemitah Zinan. And the Rambam there is also Mashna. That's what he got quotes, another quote here. I need him a. Maybe he had more. Maybe he had more sons. Maybe he had more than 10 sons. I don't know. Yeah. Then they're talking about Amalekim. That's it. That's right. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe talking. Could be. No, the Mechilta sounds like it's a real big day, right? Yeah, Apostles, I don't remember. Apostles, I draw some Apostles. Then on the last line, on this now, starts the whole discussion of when is Mashiach coming? But one of the Amoraim asked, Yishmir Lachim Asasi Barnachli. He said, he's Barnachli, he says Mashiach. What's all of them Barnachli is Mashiach? But it says in Amos, Vayomahu, okay, the Sukkot is David HaNepolis. I will rebuild the Malchus Beis David. Since the Malchus Beis David is now in the state of Nepolis, so that's how he refers to the Melech HaMashiach as the Banafi. I saw the Ben Ishchai in his commentary adds on, Banafi sounds like a Nepa. Doesn't sound like a Sukkot David HaNepolis. So he quotes the famous Medrash, that according to the original plan, David was going to be a Napo. He wasn't going to live at all. Rav Marishan donated 70 years to him. So that's perhaps what he suggests. That's perhaps why they're alluding to the whole Malchus Beis David is by Nachum. That the whole thing is Lamaila Men Ateva. Because with the Ateva, he really should have been an eight. So the Gemara starts the whole discussion of when Mashiach is going to come. So the Gemara says, it's money, and this is going to happen, all the terrible things, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and that's going to happen. And then the Gemara says it's going to be 7 years in a row. The first year is going to be this. And the second year is going to be this. How does the Gemara say? Tana Rabbanan, 6 lines on the top of Tzadik Zayin. During the 7 years immediately preceding the coming of Mashiach, Shana Rishon is going to be Mitzkayim. The Pasuk in Amos doesn't say when it's going to happen, will be fulfilled the first year. And Tati Aliachas, Aliachas Loyamtir. It will rain on half the earth, so the other half won't. Second year, that's going to happen. Third year, this is going to happen. The fourth year, the fifth year. Then the Gemara says, what do you mean? All these things happened already, Mashiach didn't come. The Gemara says, no, but it didn't happen to Sidra. It didn't happen in this order. When it happens in this order, first year, second year, third year, then Mashiach is going to come. After the 7 years, Mashiach is going to come. But it's going to be in the seventh year, the Gemara says, it's going to be big Mohammed. It's going to be big Mohammed in the world. That's what the Gemara says in Megillah, the whole, this 7 year, Seder is referred to in Megillah. Mashiach is Megillah. So the Gemara says there that the Mohammed are called to the Gula. And those Mohammeds are going to happen after the first 6 years of everything happening. Those Mohammeds means that you're winding up, you're winding down, you're holding by the end, you're holding by Gula already, and the Gula is soon going to come. Rashi writes, the Mohammeds that we're talking about, Rashi writes, the 10th line from the top, they know the Mohammeds of Israel. Mohammeds between the Jews and the non-Jews, not some, a war. There are a lot of wars in the world. What is that? Why is that, why is that a cult of the Gula? It means the war between the Yidin and the Gula. Who's going to balabat the Eretz Yisrael? That's a cult of the Gula. The Minchas Alonza, the Munkatcher, right? In the First World War, he held that it was a cult of the Gula, and it was on such a help that the war during his lifetime in the early 1800s or some Austria-Prussian war or something, that was a cult of the Gula. And the Minchas Alonza says the First World War was also a cult of the Gula. But to say that's not what Rashi learned. They assume that all wars in the world are called to the Jews. The war in 1800, the war in the early 1900s. Pashat Shah is like Rashi learns, not like that son says. Muhammad ben Yisrael, you know, the coming Yisrael, they're fighting who should follow back to the Eretz Yisrael. That's going to lead up to the Gula. Some wars in Europe between going, some Jews were involved also. That's not a Muhammad tradition, even going. That's not a called to the Jews. That's the Lashon HaGemara. That the Muhammad is a scholar because it fits in with this whole program. The Gemara says all the terrible things that are going to happen before Mashiach comes. I saw the Ben Ishchaim who says that Ben Yehoyada, he reinterprets every line in the Gemara. He says the Gemara didn't really mean it. The Gemara says, oh, there's going to hardly be any Tamil Chachamim. Oh, he's going to be the fella. There won't be any money. There's going to be bad news and everything. So he reinterprets every line in the Gemara. Everything is retired. Everything is retired. I don't understand. It's all Alpi Kabbalah. The whole faith is going mostly with Alpi Kabbalah. I don't know why he reinterpreted every line on the Amud. He reinterpreted everything. Beis Abad Yil is Lut. He interpreted the Torah. Agol Yechar was the Torah. Gavlan Yerushin. Everything is the Torah. First, the Shat and Mar is saying there's going to be Chedle Mashiach. It's going to be the Chedle Chazach before Mashiach comes. Anymore tells an interesting story. There was a city that was known by the name Kushta. Kushta is the Amesha Emin. So in that city, everybody always told the truth. And the Gemara assumes that telling the truth is in Kula Saliyachas Yomim. So no one ever died in that city. And Mashu Hazan, it doesn't mean no one ever died. It means no one ever died below Ito. Everybody lived. You were normal, ripe old age, and then they died. No one died young. That's how the Mashu tones it down. So there was one occasion that someone not from the city married a girl from the city and they lived there. So one of the neighbors was not from the one. They said, is your wife home? So they said, my wife is not home. Why do you say his wife is not? She was home. Because she was washing her hair. And there wasn't there a heritage. The Gemara says she's in the bath, taking a shower. He said, my wife is not home. So the two children died. So he told a lie. You know, the wife lied. He didn't want to say his wife is washing her hair. She's not the... He should have said she's not able to speak to you now. But because he said my wife is not home, so that's why the two children died. So the Gemara says they asked the fellow, could he please move out from the city because they don't want the Malaha mothers to visit anymore. The Gemara tells us that That the same Agarata appears in the end of Sota also, such an Agarata. A different thing, that's good. A different thing.
Lose.
That's what some of the Rishonim say on the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Sudu. There's Machlokes Ablez Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shua. The woman says she was a Psula, the husband says she was a Tzadok HaTzoch HaTzoch. Mishnah Psula. So Rabbi Shua says, Lo Nisi Onechai. He says, we don't believe it. Zog ain't in a minute. Why did he say Lo Nisi Onechai? So some of the Rishonim say, if you're going to follow Zach on her, we will not have an Arichas Yom. But if you always tell the truth, Nisi Onechai, the person always tells the truth. So when he says, Lo Nisi Onechai, that means to say, we're not so convinced that he's telling the truth. The Melissa, Lord Nisi Anachayim, comes from this Agarza. That when people tell the truth, that's the school of Arichas Yom. So that's why Rabbi Shua says, Lord Nisi Anachayim, we're not so convinced that we're going to have an Arichas Yom based on Hashem. There, I got it. Gemara has a comment on Baba Tanya. Gemara has a comment on the two daughters of Lloyd. That they thought the whole world was destroyed. In Parshas Vayera. They thought Avraham Avinu was dead. And they thought that they were the only, their father with their two daughters, were the only three tzaddikim in the whole wide world, that the Ribbono Shel Olam spared them and their merit. And they're going to have to rebuild the world. They're trying to save the whole world, so you don't have to worry about Gilead, right? Rashi says on Parshas Tegedoshim, Chesed Hu. At a time now, you see, the chesed of Baruch Hashem allows it for the team oilam. They allowed it. So they thought that they were saving the whole world. And they said, Avinu dropped them. How they said, you better hurry up. So the Gemara says that the Chora, the oldest daughter, who was with the father the first night, did a bigger mitzvah than the Tzila, the second night. So that's why she was rewarded. Because according to their perception, they thought they were rocketing the whole world. So that's why the Gemara says, this car as a reward, added reward, that the Korah rushed the first night and the Tzira only did the second night to the rabbit of the world. So that's why the descendants of the Korah became there, they entered Klal Yisrael earlier than the descendants of the Tzira. So we give a reward to that. Truth of the matter turned out to hope it was a mistake. Let's say if you have a Chayla Mesutan, if someone is, looks like he's dying, I'm a layman, I don't know if he's going to die. So if you're going to wait to call a doctor to tell you on the venus whether he's Chayla Mesutan or not, the patient may die, so the din is you have to run. If you're a layman, you have to run. What if you ran to the hospital with Chilul Shabbos and made everybody crazy? Then turns out you just had a bellyache. And nothing wrong. So you don't need any kapara because your perception was that his mom should struck nefesh. You have to run to save the person. So that's what the Gemara says, that their mistaken perception was that everybody died, Avraham Avinu is dead, and they're the only three tzaddikim that the Ribbono Shel Olam saved in that generation, to Kim Ha'olam. And they have to do this chesed, they have to do this violation of Gilead Arayis in order to save the world. So I mean, Yigmar has two opinions, that he says also. But it's still an embarrassment. It certainly is an embarrassment. Rashi quotes on Chumash. Yeah. It's an impropriety. Yeah. Rashi quotes on Chumash. The next passage says that Avraham Avinu moved. So why did Avraham Avinu move? So Rashi quotes on the matter because it was such an embarrassment. All the neighbors found out what happened. So they both became pregnant, two daughters. So Avraham Avinu, everybody knew he was the uncle, so they were staring at him. What kind of nephew do you have? What kind of nieces do you have? So he moved away, but he shouldn't suffer the business. So it certainly was something improper. So it's really interesting. We live in a generation where a lot of people are being very sick and fear of activity. But sometimes we have a din chatei b'shul shi'yitzehadech on rare occasions. Says the Shulchan Aruch, sometimes you're committed and obligated to miss between Chal Shabbos in order to save somebody from Shmad. In rare cases. So unfortunately, they have a lot of people who are so involved in Kiru that they think they're saving the whole world. So you have men will slap the girls on the shoulder and they'll be in the care of them for the sake of Kiru. You have to be friendly. And you're having a Shabbaton, so they'll sometimes be nizalzel, so then you have to shkia, so then you have to say for Shoham, and they didn't arrive yet, so they'll continue driving to the Shabbaton, otherwise what's going to be with the Shabbaton? They feel like they're saving the whole world. That's what our Talmud used to say, that we used to warn the Rabbanim, when they got here, you shouldn't develop a Messiah complex. You shouldn't think that you're saving the whole world. So look over here, these two daughters of Lloyd, they thought that they were saving the whole world. Then the Pasuk says, in the middle of this whole Cheshman that the Mekhbasi says, and the Rabbi Shalom remembered Avraham Avinu, and in the truth of Avraham Avinu, he stayed close in his people. They didn't even deserve in their own merit. They didn't deserve seven Hatzot. Their whole perception was so cockeyed, they thought Avraham Avinu destroyed. And they were the only three tzaddikim that they're going to rot over the whole world. The Pasuk says they didn't even deserve to be alive. It's only in the truth of Avraham Avinu. So, we have to try whatever we can. Here is a big list. And there is on the books, there is a rule, Chatei Bishvil Shehista HaBerech, and rare occasion, but it doesn't really apply that often. In the beginning of the Chidisha movement, many of the Chidisha used to make such hachonos before they were davening. I'm still doing today also, on Shabbat morning, they say Tillim, and the mother said you with the children, and they say hey, the children in Gemara and everything. And the more hachonis you have for the davening, the more gishmak the davening will be. And then you get to daven after this month, Tila, after this month, Krishna, you missed all this month. Or Leila say that people will start making so many hachonis, and hachonis, that you won't get to eat the matzah until after Chatzos. So Chaim Volozhiner was in that, he complained that this is terrible. Really, truly, it is a concept of Chatei, Bishushet. Sometimes you encourage a person to do a slight aver in order that you should gain a ruchni, not you should steal money and sound the yeshiva. Sometimes you tell a person you should do a slight aver in order to gain a ruchni in rare occasions. So Chaim Olozhiner writes, that's only Kodim Matin Torah. Lacha Matin Torah don't have. Yanks Lozhina married two sisters, that was Kodim Matin Torah. All the Chatei Bishushet is only Kodim Matin Torah. It's Talmud and the Kesler writes, Rashi Kitzina writes, that what the Rebbe wrote in the Nefesh HaChaim, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. The Gemara has cases of Halacha when we say, after Matan Torah Chatei Bishul Shetiske, or Chatei Bishul Shehiske Chavecha, he meant to say, it's very rare. Kodim Matan Torah, it was easier to apply. Halacha Matan Torah is very rare. You can't just say, everybody's rocketing the whole world. A lot of times we have such an exaggerated perception of our own accomplishments that we think that we're saving, we're doing such gewaldig, that work here activity, sometimes it's tough to gewaldig, but the people are going to straighten out without us also. A lot of the rabbonim are very successful in here because the balabatim are prepared for it. The balabatim are going to straighten out with a slight assistance from the rabbi. It's not that the rabbi has such a magical touch. These balabatim were so sensitive to Yiddishkeit, they're thirsty for this. So if anyone would have come, they would have lived. Sometimes it is due to the rabbi's magic touch. But that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. We shouldn't get carried away with ourselves. We think that we're all saving the whole world, and therefore we can do Gilei Arayos and Chilul Shabbos and everything else. There's still some limitations.
I never understood. How could Light have a time with his daughter if he was sleeping with him? And he didn't even know what was coming on.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Every so often, says, not to take literally means something else. What does that mean?
I looked for it. I couldn't find it. I was wondering why David HaNoah came to Moshe.